Hello and welcome to Better Construction with Sean McStay, the podcast where we discuss design and construction techniques, products, and details that lead to a better built environment.
All right, welcome to this week's episode of Better Construction. This week, I'm very happy to have with me Jan Prechka. Jan is a partner at Collective Carpentry, which is an innovative building firm here in British Columbia. So Jan, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no, I'm very happy to have you on the show. I'm interested to hear a little bit about the history of your company and kind of some of the stuff you guys are working on. Before we jump into that, though, maybe you can introduce yourself to the listeners.
Sure. Yeah, thanks, Sean. My name is Jan Prechka, and I am one of two directors, owners of Collective Carpentry. And Collective Carpentry is a prefab company in Southeast BC, in Invermere specifically. And we build high-performance homes, often for passive house, net zero homes. We're not only building for passive house, but everything we typically build will be built according to passive house principles. And we just really love building in the shop. And that was kind of the inspiration behind the whole enterprise.
Perfect. Thanks for that, Jan. That makes it's always interesting to hear kind of how these things started. Maybe for you, construction and modular and all that type of thing, how did you get into this industry? Was it kind of always a plan for you, or was it kind of serendipitous?
Yeah, I think maybe a little bit of both. You know, it started with some timber framing. So I have a background in timber framing, and often, you know, timber framing often happens in a shop environment, and there are some similarities between all sorts of shop environments probably, but timber framing specifically, just building things from 3D models, in my case, shop drawings, you know, putting a lot of emphasis on planning at the beginning and using that planning to you know, execute the plan. So that was my start. And my partner Rain has a similar background and a little bit more. Rain is more of a real carpenter than I am. I'm a little bit, my past is a little bit more sort of varied. I worked in hotels, and I've worked up in northern BC and northern Alberta in the bush with a chainsaw, and I've done some firefighting and things. So I've done a bunch of different things, but really the building is something that's been fairly consistent throughout my adult life anyway. And the shop, you know, the beginning of the shop was really a reaction to building on site. And, you know, Rain and I were building with some other, with other friends and coworkers, building high performance homes. And we just found that we were just really struggling with the weather, and specifically one really hard winter where we were spending a ton of time just trying to, you know, just digging stuff out of the snow and defrosting compressors behind the exhaust of the truck and building little foam boxes for our tools that were freezing, and, you know, just struggling with the winter. And I think we had always had an interest in watching what was happening in Europe due to some of the other connections that I had made in my previous work with a bigger timber frame company. We had, you know, I had some inspiration from some highly skilled European carpenters and engineers. And the idea of prefab was sort of in my mind from them. And as well, I just, you know, it's something I was always interested in. And a company that I did work at, that I did work for, was moving towards the idea of building some prefab, but didn't take it too far. And yeah, so really it was a result of just being out in the weather and struggling a little bit with the weather. You know, we always agree that, you know, lots of people are building great homes on site. And but they're not generally doing it with any help from the weather. And for us, it was just it really worked for our personalities and some of our experiences. And it was really born from probably selfish motivations, just a desire to get ourselves out of the weather and give ourselves the best chance at maximizing the value of some of these expensive products that we're, you know, bringing in from Europe and all over the place. So yeah, just kind of trying to give ourselves the best opportunity to execute work. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's pretty interesting, actually. I've always been kind of curious. You know, you guys are one of the first companies that really focused on this area in BC. Obviously, there's lots of them now. Well, lots comparatively, I should say. the performance and the modular construction, you know, a lot of people do one, not too many people do both. Focusing on these kind of higher performance builds, is that something that's just kind of part of the company ethos, or is that just kind of a niche that you guys feel comfortable in? Why the kind of the high performance focus?
Well, I think it started with just a desire to build more energy efficient homes, you know, just some of the company that we were keeping, both in, you know, personal lives as well as work lives. We were all just committed to, a sense of responsibility for the world. So really it just, when it came to building, it was just a no brainer. We knew right away that we wanted to do that. And there was probably, you know, a sense of knowing that that would, you know, help us differentiate ourselves from some of our competitors as well, of course. But really it just came down to once you start doing something like that, it just doesn't really make sense to do less of it or to undo it. You know, I was having a conversation the other day with somebody who was discussing and debating, you know, air tightness scores, you know, air tightness ratings of, you know, passive house versus, you know, maybe ones and 1.5s and things like that. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with, you know, getting blower door test results of one or 1.5. You know, that's great. And it's always great to be aspiring to build tighter homes. But once you establish a norm, you know, or establish a standard of, say, passive house levels of 0.6 or less, it's almost impossible to purposefully do less than that, you know, or to make your house less airtight, you know. So it was really, that was just sort of a little bit of a side story, you know. Her and I, we were sort of debating, well, how do you build, you know, where do you make sacrifices to bring a home's performance down or to bring the budget down? But really, once you hit, once you establish methods and practices for attaining certain aspects of an energy efficient home, I think it just becomes something you do. It's not really on the table to make less of an effort with airtightness. You know, instead we would let performance slip in the form of lesser quality windows or less expensive windows, and often lesser quality windows and things like that. And in some cases, thinner walls for budgetary requirements or sometimes space saving requirements. But the idea of trying to build a less airtight house has just never really been on the table. It was a bit of a badge of honor, I guess, at the beginning when this was becoming, one of the very clear measurements of how one might quantify success in this aspect of building. So, you know, it's always just one of those things you wanted to do as well as possible and, you know, build a house as tight as possible. So I think once you go down the road, you just don't really go back because it doesn't really make sense.
Yeah. Yeah, I can understand that for sure. Everyone's, you know, got a natural inclination to kind of improve each time you do something. And so for you guys, yeah, it makes sense. You wouldn't want to go back on that. One thing I'm curious about with Collective Carpentry is the location. I'm not curious why you would want to be there. It's one of the most beautiful places in Canada, as far as I'm concerned. But one of the, you know, big costs with factory construction, obviously, is transportation. So I'm curious, why set up in Invermere where you guys are?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a very good question. It's something we think about maybe even daily, you know, maybe not out loud daily, but, you know, probably crosses my mind every day in some form or another, or some complication or equation that we're working on relates to, you know, cost and shipping. But really, it came down to starting here because we were here. And, you know, they're just like there are some disadvantages of being in a small town, such as, you know, increased shipping costs to major centers, some distribution difficulties sometimes getting things. The weather can play a part in that. But I think I can speak for Rain as well. You know, our opinions would be that they're pretty minor. You know, the negatives are pretty minor and the positives are pretty substantial, you know, just lifestyle being one of them. Small towns just have lesser rents, you know. So for us, we're renting the space, and it just made sense to keep some of those operational costs as low as possible, or the overhead costs as low as possible. And I think, you know, we haven't done a ton of price comparison shopping, but I think the difference between, you know, leasing a space here in Invermere versus leasing a bigger space in Vancouver or Kelowna or, you know, Calgary is pretty substantial. So, you know, we are able to sharpen our pencils a little bit when it comes to how we quote and some of the fixed price contracts that we do, knowing that, yeah, you know, the customer is taking a little bit of a hit here in shipping, but we think that they're saving some money just in, you know, based on our lesser overhead, which is related to where we are to some extent. So really, yeah, it kind of comes down to, you know, where we started, where we have families, where we have friends, you know, we build up supplier relationships as well. And, you know, yeah, there's always a potential to move to some other place, but I don't think we'd ever expect a move to just free us of a negative. It will, every time you move, you're going to, you know, find something else that maybe isn't quite as nice. You know, little things like, you know, a fair few of our crew can ride their bikes to work. You know, I'm literally a 2-minute bike ride to work and about a 6-minute bike ride home because it's up the hill, but it's a pretty spectacular way to, you know, to start and finish your day just, in a place where you're, you know, looking forward to going for a bike ride after work and you can literally just ride your bike from here. So for us, it was, you know, it's a lifestyle choice, you know, starting to build indoors in the factory and going down this road was, yeah, you know, a bit of a lifestyle choice as well. So it just, yeah, it makes sense and it continues to make sense for now.
Awesome. Yeah, and so on the prefabricated construction side as well, you started mentioning some of the benefits earlier, and then again, they're obviously working inside, much more controlled for weather, especially if it's, you know, we live in a place that has lots of different seasons, as most of Canada does. What are some of the other benefits on your side for doing the prefab, the, you know, basically the prefab construction style?
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the benefits that I really enjoy, and that's probably because I've had my hands in the design side of things since the beginning, you know, 3D modeling side of things. I really appreciate the idea of trying to consider all the elements in a building, certainly all the elements that are related to our scope, and just visually being able to see them and prepare them and extract data from the software that lets us model these things. So for me, you know, my side of things, it helps as well with quoting and just invoicing. Everything we do is connected to the software that we use, which is CADWorks, pretty amazing software. But I would say, you know, the advantages would be lots too. You know, it's kind of, I guess I'll speak for myself, my personality. I really like the idea of this things being a little bit more in my control. You know, and some of the challenges of site building, I find that it's just really hard for me to retain control over a fairly long, drawn out, you know, year long project, you know, with a client that, yeah, I just find it hard to manage. So the prefab business is a little bit more of a shorter relationship. You know, you can have more frequent relationships and you can have repeat customer relationships, which are great. And those just get more efficient and more, you know, usually more enjoyable every time. And so the idea of just sort of getting in, having a shorter term relationship and providing a ton of value, to me is a really satisfying thing. The idea of designing everything ahead of time and planning everything as much as you can ahead of time really just works for my personality as well. You know, it's a way that I like to work. I like to have kind of, you know, like a control center, which is, you know, in my case, an office. And from this office, the data in the form of cut lists and order lists and shop drawings, all this stuff just gets, you know, kind of exported from this central hub that's quite a controlled environment. So for me, it takes a lot of the uncertainty out of building, which is, you know, some people manage very well with that. And that's great. Good for them. For me, I always found that really difficult. So it just gives me a better shot at building well, I guess.
Okay. And so, I mean, I think when a lot of people think of prefab, they think of, you know, small little residential projects, little houses, you know, kind of cabin, that type of a thing. But your company is involved with lots of different types of projects. What type of projects are a good fit? And maybe are there any types that you'd say wouldn't be necessarily a fit?
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult to say because there are definitely projects that are harder than other projects. That said, you know, we joke about some projects in the past that were very difficult, you know, but at the same time, I wouldn't want them to have not happened, you know, because some of the things that were really difficult for us for a variety of reasons have taught us so much. Then, you know, we wouldn't be here if we weren't foolish enough to take them on in the first place. So you know, yes, there is a type of project that is much easier to build and easier to design and easier to order materials for, and thus becomes easier to store and load and ship and install. You know, there are tons of variables. But so far we have, you know, we have a bit of a like positive attitude towards these projects when they first come across the desk. You know, we can identify, well, this one has some trickiness, but we, you know, in all, maybe in our foolishness, are still sort of glass half full kind of people. And we don't shy away from too much. There are definitely a few projects that stick out in my mind. And I will remember the lessons I've learned from some of them. But in our, you know, in our understanding or our experience, there's not a heck of a lot that isn't possible when it comes to prefab. It's usually just a, you know, kind of thinking outside the box and trying to make sure, you know, you're trying to satisfy architecture and structure, and you're trying to make sure you can build it in the shop and get it out the door and ship it down the road, you know, make sure the parts are able to be shipped and lifted. You know, there's just so many variables. That's the funny thing about this business, is I never would have thought that the difficult things are as difficult. You know, when we first started this, I think Rain would agree, we just sort of saw ourselves building panels and that being really tough. And, you know, that can be tough, but that's not the tough part. The tough part is, you know, bringing them into the shop in the first place, you know, getting the work and processing the planning, but also getting them out the door and getting them down the road and then getting them installed without damaging and satisfying all the stakeholders. You know, that's ironically enough, that's the toughest part of the business, contrary to what we thought. So, but yeah, I think there are definitely some projects that, you know, are much easier, and that brings a great satisfaction in some ways. But at the same time, the really challenging ones are the ones where we learned a ton about, you know, ourselves and all those things. So I wouldn't trade them for the world.
Awesome. So how does the process typically work then, if somebody is looking at your wall system, looking at your you know, your prefabricated panels? Do they bring you a design and then the panels are made, or how does that work?
So yeah, there would be a few ways that projects can come about. Quite frequently, we would be getting PDF drawings, architectural and structural drawings from either an end user sometimes, or, you know, a homeowner, or a builder, or an architect, and sometimes an engineer or a developer. But really, PDF, you know, PDF plans come about our desk, and in some cases, they've already been designed with a thick wall or with, you know, energy efficiency in mind. Often, it's a house that has at least been designed with consideration of, you know, passive house as a level of efficiency to strive for, or a, you know, a net zero home or something. So those are the ones that are a little bit easier, because, you know, they would probably have been designed with a little bit more of a thoughtful approach and how it can relate to efficiency of connections and things like that. But really, you know, the PDF plans come about our desk, and we just, you know, I'll often do a quick 3D model, just to get a, you know, it kind of just forces me to sort of dig in and, you know, build the house on the computer. And from that, we can generate cost by square foot, by cubic foot, you know, identify some of the trouble areas and make a little bit of a strategy on how we might, you know, present this opportunity back to the customer. So yeah, I mean, that's typical. That's the most typical probably to date. There are some new initiatives working towards pre-designed homes. So we're working with a few partners to develop pre-designed homes, or if they're developing the pre-designed homes, you know, we're working towards being able to build and supply these pre-designed homes. And we're working with another company, Be Public Prefab, and they are a prefab design company for whom we would be building panels. So that's, yeah, so that's a relationship that we're really excited about. As well as, you know, we have a relationship with Artisans Group on the coast, and they're developing pre-designed plans, and, you know, hopefully we'll get to build some of those. I don't think necessarily exclusively, and that's fine, but we, you know, we hope we get to build some pre-designed plans for other designers as well. And the nice thing about that would just be plans that have been designed with consideration of our techniques, you know, some of our standard build-ups that, you know, aren't necessarily written in stone, but often they were developed to facilitate, you know, the processes that we've come about fairly honestly, you know, based on limitations of our shop or limitations on, you know, tools and ability to lift things and whatever, all these kind of limitations that a manufacturing facility might have. These pre-designed homes, pre-designed panels have been thoughtfully designed with some of those considerations in mind. So it just makes it, it reduces the planning costs for the end user, and it reduces our planning costs too. So it's a really nice complement to the custom home idea, because the custom home building, you know, as any custom home builder knows, just really can, you know, stretch you. And it's a challenge, and it's a worthwhile one, but it's really hard. And the idea of complementing that side of the business with a little bit more of a, you know, pre-planned sort of mentality is a really nice thing. So again, I think diversity, you know, how we do things is really nice. And yeah, that's what I think.
Okay. And then, so for the actual install, once the panels are all made, are you guys doing all the installs, or do you ship the packages out and then contractor installs them?
Yeah, that's another question we field all the time, really. It's to date, we have installed all of our own projects, and they've been all custom homes, you know, custom homes and custom buildings, a couple of institutional buildings as well. And it just sort of feels like the level of complexity in panel connections is not something that we're ready to give away, you know, to hand off. But we have been increasingly thinking about and you know, even set up now in early phases of planning, set up a relationship where we would just send one or two coordinators. So representatives from our shop, obviously well familiar with how we do things. And these folks would go out and work with a site general contractor's crew. And yeah, just kind of coach, you know, coach how we do things. You know, sometimes it's not rocket science, but it's, you know, when you built it, you know just how hard to push it, you know, how hard to shove it, or how to fix things that maybe aren't fitting perfectly. So it's just a familiarity with the product. It's not like it's that hard, but to date, we've been a little bit hesitant to give that away, just because really, at the end of the day, the people don't necessarily remember the process, you know, or the difficulties overcome. They just need to know that it is built to their expectations. And a lot of the time for us, that means airtight to passive house or better. And so, you know, not a heck of a lot else is going to stick out in people's mind other than, you know, a blown air tightness rating, right? And it's not an easy thing to fix then afterwards. You know, it's a lot of the time some of the connections are hidden, you know, after an install. So yeah, so we retain a fairly tight ownership on installs, but we are working with a few other crews. We have a great crew on the coast who's worked with us a bunch. Porchlight Homes, they've worked with us a bunch on some installations. So now we are fully able to hand over some installations to those guys. And as well, down in the States, we have a U.S. install crew. And as well, they have, you know, a few of them have worked with us on numerous, and one has worked with us on probably six to eight installs. So yeah, we are definitely, as we build more projects and as we build, you know, bring more people into the fold, just people we meet along the way, friends, references, you know, become just a part of the crew in one way or another. And yeah, in both of these cases, that it's sort of developed into having really effective installation crews. So yeah, it's still a complex bunch of parts, you know. It's even a simple house has a ton of complex parts and maybe not a huge risk of things going wrong, but a high, you know, the consequence can be quite high. So for a homeowner who's really focused on a certain number of criteria, AKA passive house air tightness, you know, we definitely want to have some control over that still.
Okay. That makes sense to me. So as I'm getting towards the end of these podcasts, I typically ask two questions. And the first one is, if you could get rid of any misconception about prefabricated construction, what would it be for you?
Yeah, that's a good question. Well, I think there are a couple, you know, maybe I can, you know, one of them, I guess, is that it's people think it's going to be, you know, really easy. You know, there are a bunch of new prefab companies coming out into the industry. And I think that's really cool. you know, some, we're developing some friendly relationships with some other prefab companies that we hope to partner up with in the future. And that's really great. I sometimes think that people maybe get the impression that it's a really easy business and it's a, you know, an easy business to run, which it's not. So that, you know, that isn't necessarily a big picture thing, but you know, one of the misconceptions just about prefab would be an association with quality or lesser quality. And I think that's, you know, that's of course not true. You can build, you know, you can build some poor prefab just like you can build some poor site built homes, and you can build high quality prefab just like you can build high quality site built homes. I just don't think that there's really all that much of a relationship between the quality of, you know, prefab versus site building. I just think, you know, site building is just, it's just harder to attain high quality, but that doesn't mean people aren't doing it. There's lots of really, really wonderful builders out there who just aren't interested in prefab, and I totally get that. So, I mean, maybe that's one misconception that I think is fairly broad. There might be on one side of the scale where people think prefab is lesser quality because they associate it with manufactured housing. But then on the other hand, there's a bunch of people who maybe think that site building is lesser quality. And, you know, I just kind of think that it's a huge generalization, you know, and you can, it's really just down to the crews and down to the planning process and the stakeholders that are involved and the materials you use. There's just too many variables to make blanket statements like that. So,
yeah, that's a great one. Definitely a good answer. I appreciate that. The last question I ask is a personal interest question. I collect and read a lot of books, and so I'm always curious if you could recommend a book, personal or professional, which one would it be for you?
Oh, what did I just read? I don't read as much as I would like to. I don't know. Can't think of, I've been recommended some books lately that I'm thinking about reading, which one of would be Scaling Up. So, I mean, that's another topic, I guess, of our, the evolution of our prefab business would be that we are, yeah, we're trying to take the next steps, you know, and we've seen enough of a increase in demand now, and we've come about our experience quite honestly and with trials and tribulations. So we feel like it's the next move for us will just be try to increase our capacity basically and to meet some growing demand. So Scaling Up is a book recommended to me by Sean St. Amour. So that's kind of next on the list.
Good recommendation there for sure. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to be on the show. For everyone listening and watching, I'll put links, of course, down below to Collective Carpentry on social media and their website, etc. So if you have any questions, you can shoot them their way. And with that, I hope you have a great rest of your day.